compiled this exhortation was I got a series of quotes and added comments. So there's a lot of quotes. You wouldn't even bother to turn them up, otherwise you'll get blisters in your fingers. But it mainly starts off in John 9. And of course, in verse 38, it talks about a blind person. And it says, "Then the blind man said, 'Lord, I believe.' And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, 'For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind.' And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, 'Are we blind also?'" So, brothers and sisters, that was really us before we were baptized. We were blind. And then we made that covenant with God. And so in Psalms 146, in verse 5, it says, "Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in it, who keeps the truth forever. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous." So now we are no longer blind. So what was the first thing we see? When we are blind, of course, we can see nothing but darkness, or black, if you like, whatever. But now we're no longer blind. And what do we see? We see the light. Light is the basic to the universe. Life is basic to life. That's why the Creator, his first command was, "Let there be light." As you know in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." So then, when we consider God, we know that he is the provider of light, all light. 1 John 1 verse 5, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses from all sin." God's purpose was to fill the earth with his glory, to fill the world with light. This happened at creation in its literal sense, and it happens in a spiritual sense with the revelation of the gospel message, and in particular, the coming into the world of the Son of God, whom we remember this morning in the bread and the wine. In 2 Corinthians 4:6 we have this comment, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Everywhere in the Bible is a contrast between light and darkness in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. A good example was the ninth plague in Exodus 10. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, which may even be felt.' So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings." There's another good example in Exodus 13 verse 21. "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. And there's several other references too. You want to look them up sometime. Nehemiah 9 verse 12, and it's in the Psalms too. But one of the ones that really struck my attention was Proverbs 4 verse 18 and 19. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. But to Isaiah, who uses the most powerful image of light in connection with God's purpose, it's in chapter 9 of Isaiah, and we know it very well, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. So what is the light? In verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. There are further references to light and Christ the Messiah in Isaiah 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I'll keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. There's another one in Isaiah 49, verse 6 to 9. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen on you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen on you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And verse 19 in the same verse, in the same chapter, says, gives you the God the glory of his people. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, or for brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, or shall your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. The Jewish people, who were looking for the coming of their Messiah, referred to him as the light. Remember the old man Simeon in Luke, what he said when he saw the baby Jesus? He knew the prophecies. In Luke 2, verse 28, Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. In verse 32, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. But it's in the Apostle John who portrays Jesus as the light of the world. In fact, John 1 echoes the words of Genesis 1, in a way, where it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all through him might believe. He, John, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. In John 7, we find Jesus in Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Lord draws on particular features of this feast, traditions which were added later, not originally in the law. One of those traditions has to do with light. On the first day of the feast, four giant candelabras were lit with oil, were set up in the court of the woman. And by these, the temple priests, precincts and much of Jerusalem was illuminated. The lights commemorated Israel's experience in the wilderness, the pillar of cloud and the fire. But the Lord Jesus applies the idea of light to himself. The candelabras were merely man-made lights, and they would be extinguished at the end of the feast. On the other hand, Christ, the true light of the world, was a light that endured. John 8, verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but I have the light of life. And then we talked about John 9. We read about how Jesus healed the blind man. He brought light to a man who had lived all his life in darkness. For the man, his miracle was a wonderful blessing that transformed his whole life. For us too, in a spiritual sense, our knowledge of Jesus as the light of the world transforms our life. Spiritually, we too were blind from birth, but the Lord Jesus Christ has graciously opened our eyes and given us life. We have no reason why it should be you or it should be me, but we have been called by God, and we should be so thankful for that. John 12, verse 35, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtakes you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. That's an obvious statement, isn't it? While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Who else then had the experience of seeing a light in the New Testament? One of the obvious ones is, of course, Saul of Tarsus. He had walked in darkness, and on the road to Damascus, he was converted in a blaze of light. To drive home the point of his spiritual blindness, he was made temporarily blind. And forever after, Paul the Apostle liked to use the symbology of light and darkness in his preaching and in his writings. His mission as an apostle to the Gentiles was to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. And Paul's exhortation comes to us through Romans 13 and verse 12, or verse 11 for a connection. And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is shortly will be at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armour of light. From Romans we go to the first letter of Thessalonians, where Paul explains some of the dramatic events that will be happening at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 4, he writes about the coming of Christ and the resurrection of those who have died. In chapter 5, he tries to answer the question that many disciples will have asked before, and many ask again, when will the Lord return? His disciples asked that of Jesus, didn't they? And he gave them no date. And 2,000 years later, we can still don't know the exact time of our Lord's appearance, but we must be prepared for his coming at any time, and see the signs all around us moving very quickly to that day when your coming will be. And it may be sudden and unexpected to some people of the world who don't believe in him. But for us, the faithful, we should be watching. It shouldn't be a surprise to us. We have the words of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians in the first book in chapter 5, verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes on them as labour pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. We are all sons and daughters of light, sons and daughters of the day. We are not of the night or darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, as a helmet, the hope of salvation. God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And this is our hope, brothers and sisters, isn't it? We live in a dark world, a world which we daily see getting worse. The world knows nothing of the true light of the world. And this is where we come in. This is where we come in. We each of them have a torch to bear. You know how they used to take, well, they do, they take the Olympic torch around the world from country to country to start their games? Well, that's like us, brothers and sisters. While we await that day of glory, we're called upon to be little lights or little torches wherever we are in this world, illuminating in a small way the darkness of this age. Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. And then Paul says, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or laboured in vain. And Matthew tells us in chapter 5, verse 4, you, that's me and you, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill and can't be hid, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So then, because we are the sons and daughters of the light, we are to reflect that light to all around us and to show that Jesus, as we sang in this last hymn, is the way, the truth and the life, and there's no other way except through him. Our vision is the kingdom of God. That vision is described in the Revelations, when the new Jerusalem will be filled with the glory of God. And this is the last quote that we Revelations 21 and verse 23. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, or the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. The nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honour into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honour of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the book of life. So then, when the purpose of God is complete and all the prophecies are fulfilled, everything will be filled with light. What a glorious vision we have to encourage us then, brothers and sisters. And then as we partake of the bread and the wine this morning, reflect on the work of the one who was the light of the world. Let us each thank God for providing this wonderful and great sacrifice. And then let us go away from this place stronger and more determined, with God's help, to each of us prepare ourselves for Christ's return. May God bless us all. Amen.